Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk in association with bizradio.co.uk. It's Tuesday the 6th of April. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and I have a fantastic lineup of guests once again this week for your delight and enjoyment. And I'm also joined later in the show for a catch-up by the lovely Jules Serkin. So do stay tuned for that. But, you know, as always, we'd love to hear from you. All those businesses out there in the southeast of England. And the easiest way to get in touch is to tweet me at VanillaWeb and to use the hashtag BBunker. We've had quite a few tweets in already, so do keep your tweets coming. Or alternatively, you can drop me an email at hello@bizradio.co.uk. But first of all, I'd like to start off by saying a big thank you to this week's Business Bunker Show sponsors. And we're pleased to partner with DG East. They're an independent new and used vehicle supplier and services company supplying car and light commercial vehicles, utilising a majority of the UK-based leasing operator services. If you'd like to find out more about their activities, go to their website, which is www.dgeast.co.uk. So a huge thank you to DG East for partnering on this week's Business Bunker Show. We really do appreciate it. Right, as I said, we've got a few tweets come in and I shall read some of those in a moment, and we've got some news and information to update you on. I'll tell you what, let's start with a tweet, shall we? The lovely folks, Bev and Tony at Chips and Dinks, they say it's a great way to get back into the business mindset after a long weekend break of sunshine and snow. I know, it was bizarre, wasn't it? We're tuned in at 1 o'clock for the Business Bunker Show. Well, thank you for joining us, Bev and Tony. Tony, I need a word, mate. Good Friday, at least. You should have taken Bev a cup of tea in bed. Really, really, you should, with a hot cross bun. But I hope you had a lovely weekend, and it was a bit weird, wasn't it? You know, from sunshine to snow in the space of a weekend. Really quite odd. It was snowing at my place in Tenston on Easter Sunday, and I spoke to my family in France that were enjoying a barbecue out in the garden on the same day, so it was really quite strange. I've had a tweet from, it's a new Twitter handle, but from an old friend of ours, Martin Reeves, and he's launched a new business or a new charitable drive with a new Twitter handle, so do give him a follow. It's Buddy_Museum is his Twitter handle, and it's Collectors Buddy Museum. It's his new venture, raising money for local charities. So give him a follow on the Twitter, Buddy_Museum. And Martin says, Paul, could I have a Business Bunker shout out, please? Let the listeners know that I've done a switcheroo. I'm now moved from Charity Buddy to Buddy Museum. He said, at the moment, I've hit my limit to follow back at present, but do follow and he'll catch up with you as soon as his limits allows him to again. So Buddy_Museum is Martin's new Twitter handle. Give him a follow if you would, please. Green Business and Construction Hub, Green Biz Hub on Twitter. Do you offer accredited green or sustainable environmental products and services and want to collaborate with similar businesses and reach more customers? Check out our new Green Business Hub community. And let me find you the website for that, which is greenbusinesshub.eco. Greenbusinesshub.eco. Do check that out if you're in the sustainable or green or environmental product and services arena, which increasingly more and more of us are, obviously, which is good news. Okay. Bojo was on the blower again last night, and he's made some new announcements. Or they're not really new announcements. They're confirming what the route map out of lockdown was going to be, but just in case you haven't heard, pubs, shops, hairdressers and gyms will all be able to reopen next week. From April the 12th, non-essential retailers, indoor leisure facilities and hairdressers will be allowed to reopen, while restaurants and pubs will also be able to serve customers, but outside only. And pubs and restaurants will have to continue to observe social distancing rules, with groups limited to a maximum of 6 per table. Staycations will also be allowed to take place from next week in self-contained accommodations such as holiday lets. And they've also raised the number of visitors to care homes from 1 to 2 to allow residents to see more of their loved ones. There you go. Isn't that nice of them to let us do that? So we're gradually coming out of this, although the government seem incredibly reluctant to let us get back to normal. But hopefully that's going to happen fairly soon. Okay, what else have we got here? Let's just rifle through some of my emails so that I can bring you some new information. Here we go. Now this is quite interesting. There's a new multi-million pound funding package to support dozens of arts groups across Kent, and it's been awarded by the government. Theatres, galleries, performance groups and art organisations throughout the county will be eligible to receive a share of a £5 million pot. The funding provided by the Department for Digital Culture, Media and Sport will help support the arts and culture sector, and it will help them emerge from the pandemic lockdown. The 46 groups in Kent that are receiving funding from this pot will include the Chatham Historic Dockyard Trust, POW Thanet and Chiddingston Castle, amongst many others. It's the second round of funding announced by the government as part of its £1.57 billion Culture Recovery Fund. They haven't given any information on how you might apply for this if you haven't already, or where to find out more detail. But if I can find out more about it, then I will post it on the Kent Business Radio website and I will tell you about it next week. But for the moment, they seem to be handing out money from a £5 million fund, and they have identified 46 groups in Kent and Medway who will be getting some support from that fund. So let's hope that your group is included in that. Okay, let's go back and see what we've got on the Twitter. The lovely Zoe Cairns. Do you know your audience? When you know your audience, you can start to create engaging content that will answer their pains and challenges. And Zoe has got some tools that will help you get to understand and know your audience. So this is really interesting stuff. And she says you can DM her, send her a message, and get your ZC social media audience sheet. Her Twitter handle is Zoe_Cairns, C-A-I-R-N-S. So do check that out. And Zoe's going to be a guest on the show next week, and we're going to be talking more about that, about understanding your audience and all things digital and social media. So we're looking forward to that. But for the moment, if you want to get a free ZC audience sheet, then drop Zoe a DM. Okie doke. Right, let's all... Jules is saying about the thing that I just read out. The outside only service is a real sticking point for our hospitality venues. If I can have a facial or hair done, surely a table at a restaurant inside is safe, as long as area and social distancing and family group of six. Well, yeah, I mean, there's not a lot to be said for this, is there? Because there is no logic in any of the government's rules whatsoever. None whatsoever. There's no logic. There's no common sense. It's just a ragbag collection of different things to annoy people. You know, you can go some places with a group of people. It's like some of the other... You can go to a funeral and you can have 30 people there, but you can only go to a wedding with 15. I mean, it's nonsensical. It's just utterly nonsensical. There's no common sense, rhyme or reason behind any of it. And whoever is making up these rules is really, you know, kind of making them up as they go along, to be quite frank. But the thing is, we can do some things and we haven't been able to do those at all. So, you know, looking on the bright side, we have been kind of released a little bit, which is very nice of them, I suppose. Right, other tweets. Let's see what... And the lovely folks at Athelbray. Hi, Business Bunker. Could you remind listeners there's a free webinar on employment law changes and HR updates, and it's running on the 22nd of April with our associate Gemma Faircuff-Haynes. To book on either the 9 to 10 slot or the 1 to 2 slot, email fran@athelbray.co.uk for the link. Have a great show. So that's Fran, F-R-A-N, at Athelbray, A-T-H-E-L-B-R-A-E.co.uk, if you'd like to book your place on that webinar. And I'm sure you would. The lovely Kim Stevens of Care in Kent. I'd love a shout out on the Business Bunker for the Care in Kent at home, at home care workers in Ashford and Folkestone. Thank you to the care teams who work tirelessly for the needs of our clients to ensure that they feel comfortable, safe and secure. If you see our team out and about, please give us a wave. Absolutely. And they're doing a fantastic job, Kim. And we do appreciate the work they're doing, looking after people in their homes. Especially during this difficult time of pandemic and lockdown and so forth. What else we got? Oh, Athelbrae have been on again. Sorry, it's us again. Could you remind listeners that we're advertising any local businesses that are reopening in our newsletter, which is out this week, and it includes Chilston Park Hotel, Maidstone, Wildwood Trust, Canterbury, Trinity Theatre, Tunbridge Wells. Just get in touch to be included. So if you drop them a DM or indeed email Fran at Athelbrae.co.uk to be included in their newsletter to say that you're opening and what you do, then do that. It's free advertising. So thank you so much to Kate, Keith, Fran and the team at Athelbrae for doing that for local community businesses. Tracy Ferguson, I'm looking forward to listening live to the bunker today, although I'm feeling all out of sync as I listened to last week's replay yesterday. Yeah, and she sent a wonderful gif. Check out Tracy's Twitter handle for the GIF. Tazzy64 is Tracy's Twitter handle. Do give that a look. See. Right. Do you know what? It's probably time for some cheesy tunage. And, well, this is well cheesy this week. I really struggled with finding something relevant for our first guest. Our first guest is Claire Bowley from Dynamic Events. And all I could come up with, really, was a bit of Kate Russell. Dynamite. Bit of dynamite there. I know that was incredibly tenuous, that link, wasn't it? I'm sorry about that. My cheesy tunage went out of the window. But anyway, hey, listen, let's hear from Claire Bowley of Dynamic Events.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker Show Claire Bowley of Dynamic Events. Good afternoon, Claire. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Paul. Good to see you again.
It is lovely to see you. It's been a while. We'll talk about that in a minute. But just to kick us off, to remind the listeners that didn't hear you the last time you were on, why don't you tell us a bit about Claire and a bit about Dynamic Events?
Well, I'm the managing director at Dynamic Events. As of pre-COVID days, we were managing international conferences mainly for like global membership networks, that kind of thing. So yeah, it was a great business, doing loads of traveling. We were very busy. We just had our best year ever, and then COVID hit, and this was pretty much the worst business to be in. We literally overnight everything cancelled for 2020. And we had to rethink where we were going. So we had a really good look at what we were going to do instead, and we pivoted pretty much straight away to running virtual conferences for clients.
Okay. You're right. I mean, the events industry, along with hospitality, has been the most severely impacted for all the obvious reasons. Now, you were on the show just over a year ago, just as this was about to start. And we were, you know, we hadn't even locked down then, but they had cancelled public events. And so you were gearing yourself up to what that would mean for you. I think probably, without putting words in your mouth, you, like us, didn't expect this to last a whole year or more. But there we are. And we're still kind of going to some extent. But what I want to explore is what happened during that year, briefly. So obviously, as you said, you know, you started to look at alternatives. Just talk us through what you looked at, any issues that you came across, and what you actually did during that year.
Well, gosh, it's been a really interesting year, actually. Massive learning curve for myself and for the whole team.
Yeah.
We, as I say, we immediately looked at virtual conferences. So we were immediately researching virtual conference platforms. We've had a little bit of a think about it, actually, because obviously being in the kind of international event space, there was a lot of conversation around climate change, should we be flying everywhere, all of those sort of things. So we've been starting to have a bit of a look at, you know, okay, what happens if we don't get everybody coming to an event? Can we stream it? Those sort of things. And we've been doing some work around it. But obviously nothing on the scale of what we needed to do, really, to change for 2020. Got up and running very quickly with some platforms. What we did find was that they literally ran out of space very, very quickly because everybody was trying to do the same thing. So we've really spread our reach. We now partner with about 7 or 8 platforms so that we can offer different types of events to different types of clients. They will have different needs. So we do everything from kind of website style platforms, or even Zoom, actually. We do quite a bit of work on Zoom for clients. And then that goes right through to the other end of the spectrum, which is 3D platforms with avatars, which are just amazing. And it gives you loads of delegate engagement, and people use them a lot for very serious meetings, actually. A lot of things like growth hacking, design thinking, where you really need to kind of be with people. And then we've been doing a lot of work on trying to get clients to understand that virtual events are a very different animal to in-person events. Yeah. You know, they shouldn't be a pale imitation of it. What they should be is something that's really valuable for delegates in its own right. So we've been looking a lot at how you craft agendas, how you get lots of delegate engagement. What is it that people really want to get out of being on that event with you? And it's really been an interesting journey. We've done some amazing events for clients. We did an event for the City of London Corporation, actually, in the World Economic Forum. So they weren't able to run COP26 this last year in Glasgow. So instead, they did what should have been a hybrid event, actually, but it ended up becoming virtual entirely because, you know, we were all locked down. That was really interesting because they focused down in on green finance instead of the whole climate change picture. And we had some incredible speakers. We would never have got all these speakers had we not been on a virtual platform. Mm. We got a huge engagement. I mean, it was just thousands and thousands. And in fact, the World Economic Forum were reporting millions. Mm. And again, we'd never have got that engagement had we not had that virtual platform to do that on.
Yeah, it's been a fascinating journey, hasn't it? Even though it was done under duress, you know, and a force majeure. But the fact is, it's meant that a lot of organisations, as you just eloquently identified, have had to rapidly digitise. It means the tools and the platforms that are available have had to respond to this. And it's been amazing how software companies and digital providers have risen to the challenge. Because as you say, there's a huge number of platforms out there that do slightly different things. But I think looking at it as well, and there's two elements to this that I want your opinion on. But it strikes me that a lot of online events that have happened have actually, just as you identified, attracted speakers that you might normally not have managed to get to come to your event, but more than that, much bigger audiences.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's online, you know, you can just sit at home in your pajamas and do it. You don't have to get in the car. You don't have to get on a train. You don't have to get on a plane to go anywhere. You just sit at home and join in. So the audiences have been bigger. And you know, the people that you can pull from to speak at events has been bigger because it's virtual. So it's actually had a beneficial effect in some respects. And I'd just like your views on that, whether that is true or whether it's only partly true, or what your experiences have been with that.
Totally. I think it's really important to now be thinking about virtual as an incredibly valid part of the communications mix. So I mean, not only are clients seeing, especially our network clients, seeing huge reach into their organizations that they were never able to get before, but it's also incredibly sustainable. So it really ticks that kind of corporate social responsibility box. Mm. And the other thing is, you can also get people there who maybe wouldn't otherwise be able to do that. So maybe through disability or through commitments around family and caring, and or even financially wouldn't have been able to go. Now, you know, it's much more of a flat playing field and everybody can join in.
Yeah. Absolutely. I want to kind of branch off in a slightly different direction and then come back to that, if I may, because, of course, and I'm not sure entirely whether this affects your business model or not, but the events industry in general, their business model has been about selling exhibition stands and trade show spaces. And of course, by going virtual, that's changed their business model. And I wonder if you've got any views on that, you know, because selling a virtual exhibition stand isn't quite the same as selling a physical one.
I mean, we're not so much in the exhibition space, so we're much more conference, but yes, you're absolutely right. I mean, we've had to completely change our business model. So we've had to completely rethink how we're marketing. We've had to rethink how we are pricing, how we're selling. And also we've had to really change our entire operations so that, you know, we've gone from running really big, really complex events that have taken, you know, months to really, you know, source all the venues, manage all the logistics, craft all of the agendas and the creative side and whatever. And now, you know, we're delivering events that maybe have a very short lead time, that maybe only 3 or 4 weeks sometimes.
Right.
It's almost been like starting a new business, actually.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine, you know, and it must be quite a difficult process to go through looking at how you do all that while you're trying to do it on the fly, as it were. You know, it's not as if you could sit there and do a big off-site strategic meeting and say, okay, where do we take the business next year? You've had to adapt to this as you go along.
I mean, there was no choice. You know, you either had to do it or fail. And for me, failure is never an option. Yeah. I've got an amazing team here who have literally pulled out all the stops, and they've done, you know, tasks and projects and undertaken different aspects of their work that they would never have done before. You know, they're all real digital experts now, but also they're really thinking about, you know, everything in terms of marketing. They're thinking much more on a business strategic level. So, yeah, I'm massively impressed with my team, as always.
Yeah. It's a funny thing, isn't it, how adversity quite often leads to a whole new paradigm and a whole new way of doing things. You know, we reached a point out of the blue where everyone was forced to change. I mean, and the classic of that is what you were saying about the adoption of digital. I work very closely with the Federation of Small Business. And for the last couple of years, we've been admonishing the small business community to adopt digital. And it's been a really hard push, yeah, because people don't understand it. There's a fear around it. They don't know the technology. And there's a digital skill shortage. But of course, this pandemic and the whole change just forced everybody to do it, whether you wanted to or not. And not just in the events industry. You know, we've had hundreds of thousands of retailers have had to go online and develop e-commerce shops because no one can shop in their shops. So the uptake of digital has been immense in a very short space of time. What I'd like to ask you, Claire, is how you view the rest of 2021, 22 and 23, i.e. going forward, assuming that we're going to unwind and get back to some kind of normality. What do you see as the normality in the next 18 months?
I am so excited about the future of the events industry, I can't tell you. I mean, what has happened in the last year would probably have taken 10 years to happen normally. Yeah. So, you know, the climb has just been almost vertical. But what we're going to be seeing is hybrid events. A lot of people will keep virtual in their communications mix, as I say, and they will be just running virtual events. I think there's a real desire for everyone to get back to seeing each other again. So there will be in-person events coming back, obviously, you know, a bit slowly, and it's all going to depend on how we get out of lockdown and what happens in Europe and so on. But I mean, hybrid events is really where it's going to be. I think we're going to get to a point where it's not going to be, is your event going to be hybrid? I think it's going to be, our event is hybrid. Why would you not do that? You know, if you're not running a hybrid event, why not? Because of all of those advantages that it gives you that we were talking about earlier. But I think what's exciting about it is that, you know, the technology is just moving so swiftly. It will enable us to communicate on levels that we can't even begin to imagine at the minute, I don't think.
Sure.
You know, and we're looking very much at the minute about how we're going to do this effectively, how we're going to blend both environments, because just because you're joining virtually, that doesn't make you the second class delegate. You know, everybody's got to have the same experience. So we'll have our in-person delegates on the same platform on their phones as our virtual delegates. And then they will be interacting with the facilitators, the speakers, and all of that in the same way as the virtual people will. And also, how do we get the virtual delegates to be communicating with the in-person delegates? And I think that is where we're going to see a huge change. You know, people are going to be talking to each other in the auditorium on their devices in a way that they never were able to before.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, amazing future ahead of us, I think.
Absolutely. And I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right that, you know, organisations have invested in the technology now. They're not going to de-invest in that and just go back to what they were doing before. That would be crazy from both points of view. One, it would be a waste of the investment. But two, you've kind of grown the market. You've grown the market in a different way to handle a different school of delegates. So that hybrid event has got to be the way forward. I've attended a couple of online events in the last few months myself. And the interesting thing is I've done things like food and drink tasting events where the organizers send you a pack. So although you're doing it via a screen, you got your little pack of food and drink to taste and stuff. So it's been very innovative what people have done to recreate the environments that you would have had in a physical thing into a virtual environment. And I can see that the events industry and companies like yours will basically have a lot of things that you can develop and a lot of ways you can develop things in a different theme, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we actually, this is one thing I'm really proud of. In the last year, we have managed to get more new clients in that 9 months than we did in the last 5 years.
Wow.
Okay. And it's because we were marketing so much and there was obviously such a need for, you know, people who were specializing like us. But yeah, what that has made us do is, because our client base has widened hugely, is really making us innovate, is really making us experiment. And I love the fact that, you know, much as, you know, as event managers, failure is not an option for us and everything has to be organized within an inch of its life. But there is a real sense of adventure, I think, and people are really prepared to experiment, try some things. If they don't quite work, they do it differently next time. So it's giving us all a chance to try things that we wouldn't have been able to do before. And as you say, you know, getting those food packages and drinks packages, I mean, who doesn't love getting a present? And also some of the entertainment that's happening online now is just really exciting.
Yeah. And I think that's a really interesting point that you raised there, Claire, as well, how potential clients have been much more open to experimentation, you know, and have been, dare I suggest it, a bit more forgiving when, you know, you're trying to innovate around some new technology and stuff like that. Whereas maybe in the past, do that and if it don't work, I'm going to shout at you kind of thing. Whereas because we're all in this boat where we're kind of flying by the seat of our pants, I think people have been a little more tolerant. I mean, I went to a really big online event at the beginning of the year, and it was a very innovative piece of technology they used. And sadly, partway through the event, the technology just kind of gave up. And, you know, nobody got really upset about it because it was, you know, well, you know, what do you expect? It's all state-of-the-art, new and untried and untested. And they managed to pull it around and pull something together. But the interesting thing about that was, for me, was the feedback at the end. Nobody got really upset. Whereas if it had been a traditional event, everybody would have gone tonto. Yeah, gone, oh, that was rubbish. That was ridiculous. Yeah, but everybody was really understanding, you know. And I think that has helped. And I'd like to get your view on that, really, as an event organizer. You know, has that tolerance helped you do things?
Yeah, it very much has. And I think it's been one thing for me with the team that I've really tried to instill a feeling of, you know, don't be afraid of failing. Let's try it. Let's do our best. You know, we're in completely new territory here.
Yeah.
I've been asking things of the team that I've never been dreaming of asking them before all of this. So, you know, people have to have the space to be able to get things wrong. And it's, you know, as long as you learn from that, then it's a very positive thing, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. It sounds to me like you've actually had a really good year in terms of developing clients and bringing new things and new business models online. How do you see your business going over the next couple of years? You know, are you on a growth spurt or do you think that you'll spend some time consolidating?
I don't think now is a time for consolidation, really. You know, I think we're riding the wave of a brave new world here. And I think, you know, we need to keep ahead of it. We need to keep innovating, making sure that we're on top of all the technology that's out there and thinking about, you know, how we move out of virtual into something that, you know, is a blend of in-person and virtual.
Yeah.
I think... I mean, for us, we were really hoping that in-person would come back this year. And I think what we're going to find is, although some clients are desperately hanging on to their autumn events, I actually do think that the reality is we won't be running in-person events this year. There'll be some probably small things, socially distanced, that kind of thing, but we're not going to get back to what we were doing this year. But I think, you know, next year, fingers crossed, we will be seeing a move back to people being able to be together. Hopefully, you know, the vaccination rollout will have gone well in Europe and around the rest of the world. And of course, you know, not forgetting areas like Latin America and Asia, where I know, you know, there is a bit of a struggle going on.
Sure.
But, you know, we will get there, I think.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think you're absolutely right. And, you know, I don't think our politicians are quite on the ball with things like this. It's one thing saying to us, OK, you can open from October, but you can't open from October because you've got to wait for all the venues to come back online. You've then got to find venues. They've even got to, you know, it takes a long time to stage an event. You can't just go, right, well, we'll wait until October and then stage one in November. It's just not going to happen. So I think you're absolutely right.
Well, I think we probably could, but I think what's more difficult is perception. So it's whether people actually feel confident to go to that venue.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be the big hump that we need to get over.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely right. Do you know, Claire, it's really good to speak to someone from the events industry that's being incredibly positive because, of course, a lot of people have suffered really badly through this. So it's good to hear positive stories. It's good to hear about a business that's actually adapted and grown, even though they suffered this. So thank you so much for joining us. If people want to find out more about Dynamic Events, what's the best way to do that?
I think our website's the best way. So it's dynamic-events.co.uk. And yeah, if anybody would like to run an event, virtual or otherwise, we'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely. So do check the website out. We've put the website link onto the Business Bunker Radio website, so it'll be there if you want to find it. All your contact details are on there as well, are they not? So do contact Claire, as she said, if you're thinking about running an event, or you'd like some advice on running an event, or you just want to talk through what the options are. Claire, for the moment, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show again. It's been a pleasure to talk to you, and we wish you continued success with Dynamic Events.
Thanks very much, Paul. Good to talk to you as well.
Cheers now.
The Kelly Turner Foundation. In 2021, R. Kelly would have been 21 years old. Unfortunately, DSRCT cancer took her life. There is still no cure or chemo for DSRCT. Please help us celebrate Kelly's 21st by supporting our fundraising for research by the Institute of Cancer Research. Please Google Kelly Turner, Just Giving, and donate to save teenage lives. Thank you.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk. to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Loch Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially minded support. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
This is Channel 2. The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
That was the fantastic Claire Bowley there of Dynamic Events. And what a positive, uplifting and inspirational story that was to hear someone from the events industry that's actually had a record year in terms of generating new clients. So unbelievable story of success at a time of deep, deep trouble for the industry they're in. So fantastic and inspiring stuff from Claire. Tracy Ferguson has said, Claire makes a really good point that online activities events are completely different to live ones in the way that you approach them. Finding the right platform is essential. I almost, she says in brackets, went to a big event, but there were so many layers to registering, I gave up. You do need to put yourself in the shoes of the customer. Do you know what? I really agree with that, Tracy. One of the problems that I've seen with some events that people stage is they try to recreate the entire experience of being somewhere physical and the physical journey through that event. And it doesn't always work. You know, sometimes simplicity is a much easier thing to pull off. You know, And I agree entirely. You have to be in tune with your customers and your clients and your attendees and what they want. You know, don't go too far over the top. It's keeping it as simple as you can, especially with technology, because you have to bear in mind that not everyone is familiar with technology or comfortable with it as well. So you make a very good point. And Tracy goes on to say, I love this about online events, that you can make it accessible so that many more people, not only in terms of geography, but cost too, can attend. There's been huge hardships, but also some opportunities where many have been change risk averse. Now they have no choice but to evolve quickly. Absolutely. It's one of those things, isn't it, that when you're forced to adapt, you do. It's, you know, it's a funny thing. You don't want the circumstances which forced you to have to adapt, but having adapted, you then see the benefit. It's a funny thing, because it shows you how resisting change is not always a good thing, really. And, you know, if we could learn to embrace it before we're forced to do it, you gain an advantage. Jules has been on as well, and she says, I do miss personal relationships at conferences. She says, we at Newmarket's Media miss the amazing travel, the places we visit, and the people places we've been, and the people we meet. But Zoom, Teams, etc. are invaluable. And I miss the dinners and cocktails. Well, of course you do. You miss the drinky poos, don't you, Jules? She says, because now I have to make the cocktails myself. But yeah, you know, but I think that's the whole point here, is that we're going to have virtual events, aren't we? We're going to have hybrid events. We're going to have back to physical events, but with some virtual. And the benefit of that is that far more people can attend an event than would have done otherwise, because they couldn't get there physically. So some interesting comments and thoughts there. And Tracy again says, I agree, a blended approach moving forwards makes sense, especially if it means, for example, I can attend an event halfway around the world, which would have which the cost would have previously prohibited. Absolutely. And it's not just attendees, it's speakers and things like that. I've been at events where international speakers have spoken via screen, and it works really well. And, you know, so if you've got a virtual speaker lineup as well as a physical speaker lineup, you can have a much broader depth of guests. It saves all that travel. It saves the cost of travel, and it reduces the cost of the event. So I think it's the way forward, and I think we've kind of proved that unequivocally now. Ibiza Fitness Food have been on. They said, we're listening live to the Bunker Show in our Kent kitchen. Chefs cooking up fresh meals for delivery throughout the UK. Just serve and enjoy. Actually, I'm going to be talking to you guys soon, because I've made the decision now. I'm going with Ibiza Fitness Food for my new diet. So I'm going to be contacting you shortly to start ordering my food. Okay. I've got this that has literally just come in. It's a breaking government announcement, and it's an interesting one at that as well. The government have just announced that any company that employ a forces veteran, they will be exempted from employer's national insurance for the first 12 months. Wow, that's a move. So the announcement was made this morning. Any company that employs a forces veteran from now on will be exempt from paying national insurance, employer's national insurance, for the first 12 months of their employment. Wow. For anyone that doesn't know, employing ex-forces personnel is an incredibly interesting and clever thing to do. I've been involved in hiring veterans in the past, and I've been involved with a couple of veterans groups trying to find employment for veterans. And people from the forces are highly skilled, very talented, and incredibly conscientious in the work they do. So looking at hiring veterans is something that most businesses should look into, and now there's a tax incentive to do that also. So that's an interesting move. If I find out more about that, I'll let you know. Okay, I think it's time for the FSB News. What do you think?
The Federation of Small Businesses News Roundup. Offering advice and guidance for small businesses and the self-employed.
Okie doke. Just to remind you, although the month has started, there's been a lot of changes in employment costs beginning on April the 1st. Statutory sick pay increases from the current rate of £95.85 a week to the new rate of £96.35. The national living wage has increased to £8.91. It's for 21 to 22 year olds, it's £8.36. For 18 to 20 year olds, it's £6.56. For 16 and 17 year olds, it's £4.26. And the apprentice rate is now £4.30. Now, they've done away with one of the brackets. The highest bracket now applies to anyone over 23. It used to be 25. So if you're 23, 24, 25, you now go on to the national rate, which, as I just said, is now £8.91 an hour. And all of those came into effect last week on the 1st of April. So if you're employing people, you do must make sure that you conform to all of those minimum wage rates and to also the statutory sick pay levels. Okay, I'm going to tell you about some events that are happening over the coming weeks. And at the end of this list of events, I will give you the booking details for all of them. Okay, so here we go. There's a Kent Women in Enterprise virtual networking event taking place on Friday the 23rd of April. That'll be St. George's Day, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Join us for this Women in Enterprise brunch and have the opportunity to promote your business and link up with fellow entrepreneurs in our interactive and engaging breakout rooms. Promote your business and meet fellow entrepreneurs. The event is hosted by Sue Hainsby of Carlene Lettings. As I said, I'll give you the links and the booking references at the end of this little segment. There's a webinar on Tuesday the 4th of May, 10:30 a.m. to 12 p.m. So you can attend just before you listen to the Bunker Show. And it's how to find and win more tenders. The session offers an ideal hands-on introduction and insight to those new to the world of tendering, as well as those who need a steer in the right direction. So that's Tuesday the 4th of May, how to find and win more tenders. On Wednesday the 12th of May, from 11 a.m. till noon, there's Kent Membership Matters. Find out what FSB Kent are doing locally and understand about the benefits of FSB membership to ensure you're getting all the help you can and when you need it most. So Kent Membership Matters, Wednesday the 12th of May at 11 a.m. Maidstone Virtual Networking is taking place on Wednesday the 26th of May, 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. Peter Searle is hosting this free FSB Connect online event in association with Metro Bank. These Maidstone events are a relaxed networking with like-minded business owners and everyone is welcome. They have a guest speaker at the next event and that guest speaker is Stephanie Unthank and she's Director of Infinity Wellness. All of those events that I've just mentioned to you can be booked, or you can find out more detail and you can reserve your place and book your tickets by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB, or you can go to bizradio.co.uk and click on the FSB tab and then the events tab and you can find them all there. So that's kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB to find out all about those events and to book your place. Okay, there's some more events coming up, but these have individual bookings for them because they tend to be national events. Would you like to be a champion in these difficult times? Join our interactive fast-paced webinar, which will provide you with all the resources you'll need to survive 2021. It's taking place tomorrow, manana, Wednesday the 7th of April, 12:30 p.m. to 1:30 p.m. You can find out about it and book your place by going to fsb.org.uk/event calendar/ would you like to be a champion. That's fsb.org.uk/event calendar/ would you like to be a champion. Doing Digital Right, How to Stand Out, the second masterclass session from Mail Metro Media and IAB UK, in association with the FSB, explains what makes great and effective advertising across digital display, video, social and content. This webinar is taking place on Thursday the 15th of April from 12 noon to 1 p.m. You can book your place and find out more by going to fsb.org.uk/event calendar/doing digital right. fsb.org.uk/event calendar/doing digital right. Cash for Innovators, Britain's Best Kept Secret. Is your business missing out on R&D tax relief? That's research and development tax relief. Join our upcoming webinar to find out more and how you can claim your R&D tax relief. I just want to say something in this, because I've used this scheme a number of times now, and so many people don't think that they do R&D, when in fact you do. Almost every business I know has some R&D tax relief that they could claim. So do get this checked out. And the best way is to go to this webinar and find out all about it. The webinar is taking place on Friday the 16th of April, 11 a.m. to 12 noon. That's Cash for Innovators. Don't miss out on your research and development tax relief. To find out more and to book your place, fsb.org.uk/event calendar/cash for innovators. So they are some webinars that are happening over the coming weeks that you can attend and find out all about what's going on there. Whilst we're talking about the FSB's website, they also have a number of resources on the website that are available for you to use. There's the Legal Hub, and the FSB Legal Hub enables you to browse over 1,100 documents, fact sheets and templates covering a host of categories. They're all available 24/7. It covers HR, debt recovery, health and safety, cyber security, and so much more. There's also a wealth of helpful resources and documents relating to COVID-19. To access the Hub, simply log in to the fsb.org.uk and click through to the dashboard. fsb.org.uk and click through to the dashboard. There's also information there on how to stay compliant with workplace pensions. As an employer, it's your responsibility to ensure a compliant workplace pension is in place for all eligible employees. Even if you only employ one person, you're still responsible for making sure that they have a pension scheme set up and that you carry out your duties. Failure to do so can result in fines, so it pays to stay up to date. Be proactive about your pensions with the FSB top tips for compliance. So to find those top tips, if you go to fsb.org.uk/resources page/how-to-stay-compliant. That's fsb.org.uk/resources page/how-to-stay-compliant. Do check that out. Make sure that you are conforming to all the rules that you need to as far as workplace pensions are concerned. As I mentioned last week as well, the FSB has launched a new app, phone app, and with the new FSB app, we're by your side wherever you are. Manage your membership on your mobile, access your benefits, and find out what's happening near you. It's never been easier to make the most of the FSB. Simply click on the Apple App Store button if you're an iPhone user, or the Google Play Store button if you're an Android phone user, and download the app. And then you can access all the things that I just told you about, all the dashboard stuff, and the webinar booking information. So that's the FSB news for another week, and thank you to the FSB for bringing that to us. Okay, I'm going to catch up on some tweets now just before we join the newsroom. Ibiza Fitness Food say, oh, Vanillaware, Jessica Deakin and team will be delighted to help you shed your pounds. Jill Sirkin says she wants to join you. You know you love a bit of chili. And they've sent me a picture of some fantastic chilies, which look wonderful. Yes, I'm going to be in touch. I'm going to be ordering some meals from you guys. I need your help, and I'm looking forward to that. Athelbray have been on with a tweet. They say, great to hear the positivity from Claire on dynamic events and taking the opportunities to work successfully albeit a bit differently. There's been much talk about businesses going under, so good to hear a good news story, and that's great. Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. It's like anything, isn't it? If you adapt to survive, you tend to survive. If you sit and just worry about it, you don't. And that's the problem, is so many people kind of gave up at the point where they could have tried to adapt. You know, it doesn't always work. I get that. It doesn't always work. But you need to try. Otherwise, you know, it's just never going to go anything. What is it, the aphorism that some sports people come down with? You miss 100% of the goals that you don't try for. And that's absolutely true. Okay, keep your tweets coming. We'd love to hear from you. We're going to join the newsroom shortly, in a few minutes. We've got another guest to talk to after the break. And we're also going to catch up with the Jewel Cirkin. Just want to tell you about a couple of things that are happening before we go to the newsroom. There's an invite to attend an online event. You'll get to meet, this is from John Nicholson, the CEO of Community Driving School. He says, you'll get to meet me, but more importantly, you get the chance to meet our ambassador, Chanel Drew, as we both talk about what Community Driving School CIC and Chanel Drew Racing are up to. This is taking place this Thursday, the 8th of April, from 12 noon to 1 p.m. There's also a chance to network at virtual tables, which means you can move around and talk to as many people as you would like. It will be great to see you at this event, and you will get the chance to hear what we have been up to. And that's from John Nicholson, who's the CEO of the Community Driving School, Community Interest Company. To register, you go to live.remo.co/ the Community Driving School. So that's live.remo.co/ the Community Driving School. Or you can find out all about the Community Driving School by going to their website, which is www.thecds.org.uk. That's www.thecds.org.uk. Do check that out. The tickets are now available for the next Marsh Network Online, which is taking place on April the 14th at 10:30. Make sure of your place by going to www.marshnetwork.co.uk. Our speaker will be Richard Smythe of iMasters, who will give us 10 minutes on the impact of increased screen time during the pandemic on your eyes. The last two meetings have been full, with almost 40 people attending, so book now to increase your reach across Kent and East Sussex and an increasingly wider area, including Essex and London. Spread the word. There's no joining or membership fees. Just pay £5, pay as you go, and that includes a charity donation. So join us for relaxed professional networking and to give and receive support. And that's from the lovely Terry Botfield, and you can follow Terry on Twitter at the fantastic Twitter handle TDBotty, B-O-T-T-Y. That's the Marsh Network next event, April the 14th, 10:30, online. There's a quick update on the Southeast Construction Expo. The expo will be live at the South of England Event Centre on the 21st of October 2021. But because we have the technology, we're also going to be live streaming the event. What this means is if you're exhibiting, you will, in addition to your physical stand, get an online presence in a virtual booth, totally free, so loads more construction businesses can see your products or services. If you're a visitor, you'll have a fantastic networking opportunities both live at the expo and by visiting our virtual networking room. This is where you can connect to both virtual and live attendees. The speaker sessions will be streamed live. If you're attending or virtually attending and miss any of the speakers, there will be recordings available. The Southeast Construction Expo is where you'll find out about major projects and investment opportunities. You can meet the buyer free with top UK construction companies, and there will be live demos. To find out about this, go to their website, constructionexpouk.co.uk, or drop them an email at info@constructionexpouk.co.uk. So thank you for that. We're now going to join the Channel Radio newsroom, and when we come back, we've got another guest and Jewel Cirkin to talk to.
The Business Bunker